Yo, Chad, what if I told you there's a platform that could completely revolutionize your hiring strategy in a matter of hours?
Yeah, I'd call bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit with AI for jobs powered by our friends at This Way Global.
Okay, I'm listening.
While everyone else is fishing in the same old talent pools, AI for jobs can source over 160 million diverse candidate profiles. This Way Global has established unique partnerships with over 8,500 trusted diversity partners.
So wait a minute. All of the hard on the groundwork is already done.
That's right, cowboy. You can discover 300 qualified candidates per job rec instantly.
Wow.
It's like having a candidate sourcing magic wand.
Dude, if you had a magic wand, you would have Mexican pizzas all day.
Stop distracting me, Sowash. AI for Jobs advanced matching algorithm analyzes past applicants using trillions of historical matching events and over 1,600 data points.
Now that is what AI should be doing, saving recruiters time on sourcing while they provide a white glove candidate experience.
Let's wrap this shit up. I'm hungry.
Listen up, kids. Revolutionize your hiring process today by jumping over to thiswayglobal.com and checking out AI for Jobs, where you can learn more about how to leverage AI for your recruiting instead of just writing poems and grocery lists.
That is thiswayglobal.com. We out.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's up, kids? You know who it is. It's your favorite guilty pleasure, aka the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I am your co-host, Joel Cheeseman, joined as always, the Woodstock to my Snoopy, Mr. Chad Soash. And today we're going Euro on your ass. Everyone, welcome Geert Jan Vosdorp. He is the CEO and founder of Intelligence Group, joining us from the Netherlands. Geert, or I'll just call you GJ for short. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great for you having me. Yeah.
Good to be here.
I hear it's a little warm in the Netherlands nowadays. How are you guys dealing with that? You don't generally have air conditioning units. How's that working for you?
Well, it's sweaty.
Sweaty.
Yeah, and hot is fun, but too hot is, it's especially sweaty.
So for people like me that don't understand 30 degrees Celsius, what is that, like 90 to 100 in Fahrenheit?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just hot, hot as balls, everybody, in the Netherlands. Hot as balls.
It is hot. We talked about on one of the weekly shows in Luton Airport in London, where the tarmac was melting. Apparently, that's going to our friends in the Netherlands, so that should be fun.
Chad loves it hot in Portugal, though. He gets to copper tone up the melon and get that nice shine on that head.
Amen.
It's something he loves.
Amen. Amen. So, GJ, do us a little favor just for all those listeners that are out there that don't know who you are. Give us a little Twitter bio of you, and then we'll jump into the research.
Well, my name is Geert Jan Vosdorp, founder of Intelligence Group. Almost 25 years in the labor market and recruitment industry. Always working on data, talent intelligence, and looking for trends and developments in the market. In the Netherlands, we started, and now we're doing Europe. And that's amazing what's happening there.
In Europe, well, I should say here in the US, we use a term called LMI, so labor market information. And there's a huge market for that here in the United States. Is that pretty much the same thing that you guys do in Europe? It's all labor market information and always intense on the labor market?
Yes, that's exactly what we do. But it's that market in the Netherlands and in Europe is just developing. So if I look at labor market insights, recruitment data, or talent intelligence, that's the new hype at talent intelligence. Uh-huh. It's just hot since last 2-3 years. And not now with the shortages, and it's really taking off and getting more and more important because knowing what's happening in the market gives you a competitive advantage in recruiting.
Which is what your organization does. So give us the elevator pitch on Intelligence Group.
Oh, so it's very, very short. We know exactly how big talent pools are, where you can find talent in Europe, what you need to offer them as employer benefits, the talent that you are looking for, or the channels that you need to use to recruit them.
So to put this in context for our listeners, GJ dropped a 160-plus page report on Chad's in my lap. we'll keep it simple for our listeners because we know who you are. But the European Intelligence Manual from 2022, GJ, give us sort of a 30,000-foot view of the Intelligence Manual, what you're hoping to accomplish from it.
Well, I think the one message that we have with this manual is that if you want to recruit in any country in Europe, any country is different, really different from another. And even by region, countries within a country, there's a lot of difference. And if you don't know that data, it's almost impossible for you to recruit in another country that you don't know. And really, it's day and night. If you even compare, well, I'm in the Netherlands, and if I compare the Netherlands to Belgium, and the half of Belgium is also like Dutch speaking, the Belgian market is even more different than the German market is to the Netherlands, and the Germans speak a different language. So it's really day and night. And I think a lot of recruiters underestimate the differences in recruitment tooling, in ethics, in legalization between countries and regions.
In starting the European podcast, the Chad and Cheese Does Europe European podcast, you know, we knew as a couple of dumb Americans, we did not understand the dynamics at all. But as we dug into it and we started to interview leaders in Europe, in different countries, we started to understand that they didn't even understand what their neighbors were doing or the inequities or what they were using to actually target or search for jobs. I mean, so from our standpoint, I mean, that was mind-blowing to think that, okay, so in America, we really don't understand Europe, but hell, in Europe, this information seems like gold too. Is that one of the reasons why you felt like you had to pull something like this together, just because you were seeing the exact same thing that we were saying?
Well, we really needed proof when we have discussions with recruitment leaders in Europe. So if I talk to an average recruitment leader, they define the market as what LinkedIn tells them the market is. And you're laughing, but that's really true. And they define the market as English speaking because they are themselves English speaking. That's the sometimes their native language also. And they expect that, well, they are recruiting for an international company, so they are only recruiting English people. So the main language is English. And LinkedIn tells them how the market looks like. But what LinkedIn doesn't tell them, that they only have the data of people that use LinkedIn and have also often the English files, of the English profiles. So if you go to Germany or you even go to Poland or you go to Hungary, you see that the adoption of LinkedIn is very small. They are by far not leading in those countries.
Yeah, we'll dig into that in a minute because I want to go deeper. But before we do that, let's talk about how the research was compiled. So this was a survey. How was the information compiled? How many countries? How many people were surveyed, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay, we surveyed almost 100,000 people last year, and we do that every year.
Hold on, 100,000.
Yeah, 99,175 to be exactly.
Holy shit.
Now that, okay, George LaRocque, yeah. That is a sample size, okay? You want to talk about 300 being a sample size? That is a fucking sample size, George.
That's Herculean.
Yeah, 27 countries, 19 different languages. So then you see that the sample size, you have to have a good sample size in every country. Even if it's the small countries like Denmark, you still need to have a sample size to say something about the labor market in Denmark. And we do that year by year.
So some of your takeaways you mentioned, and I'm going to give you sort of my main takeaways from the report. And you tell me where I'm right and where I'm wrong. Some of my major takeaways are that Europe is getting very old, and that's a major issue with employment. There are huge differences between the north and the south of the continent. And what are those differences in employment? And then immigration is a huge issue in Europe. Am I right about those sort of three main takeaways, or am I wrong and I should be looking at something different?
You are right in every way, but it could be that, for example, if you look to the differences between North and South, but also between East and West, the differences could be different than you expect them to be. For example, I would expect before I did the research that the differences between the wages between male and female are bigger in the South than they are in the North, but it's exactly the other way around. The South is more emancipated. I don't know if that's the good word, but there are less differences between male and female. But I expected it to be because it's more male-dominated, the south of Europe.
Uh-huh.
And the north always says we are more liberated. You expected it the other way around, but it isn't.
Greater pay disparity in the north than versus the south, okay?
Well, especially in the Netherlands, the UK, Germany, countries that are always full of how it should be. Well, they suck at it.
So the report actually demonstrates that, I mean, Finland was almost equal as men earn 0.1% more than women. So that's almost equal. And that's on the, you know, that's Scandinavia. Then we have Bulgaria, Estonia, and Romania, where women actually earn more than men. So these, I agree. I thought Finland might be close, but Bulgaria, Estonia, and Romania, that blew my doors off. I didn't realize that women were actually making more than men. Do we understand why that is? Is it the type of jobs?
I truly cannot tell you what the reason is, because I was surprised also by those numbers. And I need to say that that was from the Eurostat, that's like the Central Bureau of Statistics from Europe. So it was not by the questionnaires that we saw that, but that was data that's even, well, they question about 2 million people every year. So it's even another source, but that was very remarkable.
Yes.
Let's get to the next thing that really drew my attention, and this one will shock you, Chad, quite a bit. It was the Big Mac Index. What the hell is the Big Mac Index, and why does it not do with me getting Big Mac shipped to my house?
Well, the Big Mac Index is that's how you can easily compare what you can buy for a dollar in a country, because in one country you can buy for $1, you can buy more Big Macs than in another country. And to be more comparable between what you can buy with your money that you earn in a country, they made a Big Mac index. So you can make a fair amount on, well, you earn less, but can you buy more or less with the money that you earn in a country? And that's why they created, we didn't. But this is a number that is used all over the world, and it's called the Big Mac Index. So you can compare exactly what you can buy, how many Big Macs you can buy by the salary that you make.
Joel's getting ready to relocate to Romania after seeing
Bulgaria sounds really good. And so for context, if you're in Switzerland, forget about it. If you're in Estonia, Bulgaria, lots of Big Macs you can buy with the dollar. But from an employment perspective, I'm guessing that impacts salaries. So salaries in Switzerland are going to be much more than they will be in Estonia. And you can expect to earn more, although things cost much more. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. And this data is, for example, very interesting. If you want to nearshore your workforce or want to know where to recruit, and you look at what the salaries you can pay. So it's interesting to see where you can buy cheaper labor. And I need to be a little bit safe on this part, because I know how Chad reacts to that kind of stuff. But it's in recruitment, you see that it's what you can buy for a dollar is also labor. And this kind of data is important for international recruitment.
If you take a look at it, though, because of all the digital nomad programs and opportunities that are happening, you can actually earn a much larger salary and still live in Romania and get that wonderful Big Mac index, right? So, I mean, the labor market in itself is starting to morph dramatically, don't you think?
Yeah, and that's really changing. And you even have countries in Europe that if you are a digital nomad in those countries, you don't have to pay taxes. So you don't have to pay taxes, you earn more, and you do the same labor. So it is very interesting for people who can be digital nomad. You don't pay taxes. In certain countries in Europe, if you are a digital nomad, you don't pay taxes.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't pay taxes, and that allows for more of the Big Macs. So let's go ahead and jump into one of our favorite topics, Europe's favorite job boards. Now, this is something that is we're looking at as an aggregate of all Europe. We've got Indeed, LinkedIn, neither one of those are surprising. InfoJobs, which doesn't exist in the US, really. Yep. Monster, which is over Stepstone.
What did you say?
And then last but not least, Adecco. So what actually did any of this surprise you whatsoever? I mean, Monster surprises us whenever it shows up on a list.
No Stepstone?
No, Stepstone's right after Monster, but they're heavy really just in Germany. But JG, what surprised you about this? Anything?
Well, I think that, well, Indeed and LinkedIn didn't surprise me. But InfoJobs did surprise me because they are by far market leader in Spain and in Italy. And because they are big in those countries, and those countries are also very big, then you see by average, they have a footprint in Europe. But to be honest, they only have a footprint in 2 out of 27 countries.
Wow.
And then because the European market only has local champions, so the market leader in, let's say, Swiss doesn't exist in Austria or in Germany. So you only have local champions. That means that Monster, because they are like top 10 in like 8 countries, and that's also by Stepstone combined, they have a footprint in Europe. But if you look in this in the countries themselves, in some countries they have a sort of footprint, by average they don't. But it exactly tells you that there's no European job board. That's the real message. And by Adecco being 6th,
yeah,
and if you go to 7, 8, and 9, you see a Randstad or you see a Manpower, you see the agencies coming up because they are present in more countries. But if you compare their footprint or the percentages of people using them, that's like not even a tenth of LinkedIn or Indeed. So they are 4th and they are 5th, yeah, Monster and Stepstone, but it's never a real choice in when you are recruiting locally. If you are recruiting in global, in the total of Europe, it could be a choice that you make. And what you do miss here is programmatic. And I know you talked about it also in the Chat and Cheese shows, but programmatic doesn't have a footprint in the whole continental Europe. It doesn't exist.
And do you believe it doesn't exist just because it's so damn complex? I mean, you've got to be able to know the Denmark job board, the Sweden job board. I mean, it's much more complex than here in the States, where everybody speaks the exact same language. And let's say, for instance, Stepstone is not going to do well in France. Obviously, they shut down France operations. So do you just think that it's more complicated and more complex to be able to maneuver from a relationship standpoint, and that's why it's not happened in Europe? Or is it just that Europeans are slow?
No, I think that it's more complex, and the countries like the Netherlands or Belgium is very small. So it's also difficult to gather data and information to feed your algorithms. But what I also think that's happening, like Axel Springer, the holding of Stepstone, they bought a programmatic company. I don't know the name.
Appcast.
Yeah. And I think they just killed it because they made much more money by publishing vacancies on Stepstone. To give you an idea, to publish a vacancy on one vacancy duration post on Stepstone, it's about, I think, 12 or 1300 euros. That's today,
yikes,
almost dollars.
Yeah.
So that's a business model.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Not to mention they have this amazing Appcast infrastructure that is a money maker in the US. So they are draining money out of the US, and they have an opportunity maybe someday to start programmatic and Appcast in Europe. But before we go down that road, I want to talk about LinkedIn versus Indeed, because again, in the US and really across the world, these are the two biggest names in our space. So in Eastern Europe, LinkedIn isn't really used. 11% of individuals surveyed in Germany use LinkedIn. 58%, while 58% use Indeed in Germany. But in Sweden, in Norway, those positions are switched, where LinkedIn has massive numbers over Indeed. I think this just demonstrates the huge differences from country to country and region to region. Do you find that most companies try this one vehicle operation, or maybe even two, like an Indeed and a LinkedIn, and they just can't get penetration into the market?
Yeah, they really miss the market. And I always explain, if you LinkedIn went too late into the East, and in the East of Europe, they already had copycats of LinkedIn, like Xing in Germany, of Crossing or Xing, and in the other Eastern companies, countries, they already had copycats. So that market was in a way already gone. But from a perspective of people using LinkedIn and using LinkedIn recruiter seats, they see so many talents go by in numbers that they still think that LinkedIn is huge. And it is, from a one company perspective, it is. Because if you get 11% of all the talent in Germany by using LinkedIn, that's still an enormous amount of numbers. But you probably can use better tooling than that to reach more people, and especially if you go to the eastern part of Europe. Yeah, that's what I can say about that.
Most companies don't realize that, you know, countries like Estonia are hyper-focused on tech talent and producing tech talent, and neither LinkedIn or Indeed does well there. So how in the hell do you get penetration into a country that is incredibly focused and savvy around tech like Estonia?
Yeah, I'll need to go quick into the manual to tell you exactly what it is in Estonia, but they have a local champion, and probably a local champion that by far dominates the market and could be from a historical perspective, be market leader, but could also be a market leader because they are funded by the government. Mm-hmm. And the government tells them, or everybody who's looking for a job, this is at least where you put your CV, or tells companies they are obligated to publish their vacancies on those job boards. So you can also say in those countries, it's not always a completely free market, mm-hmm. Because regulations makes that vacancies or CVs should be on that platform. I know that's in certain European countries, but in other European countries, you just have other market leaders, and the market is so dominated by those leaders. New entrants by Indeed or LinkedIn or any other party, it's a no-go because you cannot win that market. Or the market is too small to win or to be interested to penetrate because these are also small countries.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey. Kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener. Get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos. Well, that's going to be really hard for the folks at ZipRecruiter and talent.com who are hoping to get a foothold in Europe to hear for them. So that's a bummer.
Well, I know for one thing for sure, ZipRecruiter will never get a footprint in the European market. A new job board getting a footprint in the European market, I think that's impossible. If and Indeed cannot do that, or LinkedIn cannot do that. But what I do think is that, like, platform technology, mm-hmm. that will be, if we look at for now and the next 10 years, I think the new market leaders will come from that part. And I think the agencies like Adecco, Manpower, but probably new agencies like Job and Talent, and I know you love the name, but those kind of parties will be the next generation of market leaders in Europe.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about Russia and Ukraine, because I know that's a little bit of the elephant in the room and something that's impacting the country now and will also have impact in the future. So what's sort of your takeaway in terms of immigration, developers fleeing the country, and not just the Ukraine, but also Russia? How is that impacting the European landscape?
Well, the Russian market is very simple to answer. There is no Russian market anymore, because we cannot do any business with the Russian market, and also not with, we call it White Russian. I don't know what the English word is, but it's the another country.
Do we have an idea of how many developers and professionals have left Russia in light of the invasion? Is it a lot or less than we think?
I think it's less than you think, because people are not allowed to travel. So it's very difficult for people to leave Russia. I think the only way you can leave Russia is by going to Turkey and then to Europe. So that's not a route many people take. And if we look at the data of Ukraine, we also researched Ukraine, but when we made the manual, we thought it was not really nice to put in the market of Ukraine, because there were so many uncertainties. Yeah. But if I look now, we are going to publish again the data of Ukraine and also make that data available, because we see that the labor market in Ukraine started again. They already did like 2 or 3 months ago. And mm-hmm. well, Ukraine is very big. And I think I don't like the word normal, but you see that the labor market is getting to a new sort of normal in the Ukraine. And I think a lot of people are again thinking about nearshoring their work to Ukraine.
We know a lot of Ukrainians have left the country, particularly developers, and a lot went to Poland, Germany. Are those professionals going to stay in those countries by your estimation? Are they going to go back? I mean, what are they going to go back to? And my assumption is they're going to stay in Poland and Germany and France. And if that's the case, who wins the most in that calculus? Is it Germany and UK? Are there countries we don't think about? Are they all going to stay in Poland because that's where initially they went? Talk about that.
Well, I think that first of all, men were not allowed to leave Ukraine, men till the year of 60. So all the male developers, at least a lot of them, are still in the Ukraine. The people who left Ukraine were mainly women and children. They went to Poland and Germany, and they do gain by having that labor force because of the shortages. And we see it also in the Netherlands. It's about 25,000 people are from Ukraine are working here. But I expect most of them to return back to their husband or to their family back into the Ukraine. So I think it's more temporary than it will be for a long time.
Okay.
That's my guess. 80 till 90% of all developers are still in the Ukraine and are already working, if not fighting.
And I'm guessing most are in the gig economy finding opportunity. Or and companies also, I guess, contracting Ukrainians as well. So they're still able to work if they can put the gun down for a few minutes, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Gotcha. So talking about immigration in Ukraine for a little bit, I want to talk about others coming into Europe, namely the Chad Sowashes of the world. We hear a lot about expats, people leaving the U.S. coming to Europe. Was that any part of your survey or any comments around Americans coming over to Europe and how that impacts employment?
Well, I think the amount of Americans going into Europe is, I expect, to be not that big and doesn't have a significant impact on the European market. But that's my expectation. But I don't know, I don't have the numbers. What I do see is people from India, from Indonesia, but also from Africa coming in to be the labor force for companies for like Romania or Hungary. There are the shortages in those countries are even higher than they are in Germany, and they get the labor out of Europe getting into those countries.
Well, I see that, you know, there's a migration set up by country, because you have this amazing data country by country, and there's a migration piece. So just take a look, as Joel was talking about in Portugal, the migration is 72,725 immigrants to Portugal. That's from a variety of different countries. And then 28,219 Portuguese people leaving. So there's a net gain of almost 50,000 at that point. And when we're talking about a country the size of Indiana, about 10 million people for all of those American listeners out there, you know, that's fairly substantial.
Yeah, that's true. And that differs from country to country.
Yes.
And what you see is in Portugal, probably a lot of immigrants come out of South America because of the Portuguese history and mm-hmm. also the languages they have, I think, with, what is it, Brazil or it's Argentine, I don't know exactly.
Portuguese.
Yeah, but if you look at Germany or you look at the UK, for example, has a historical relations with India. So if they bring in immigrants, a lot of them are from India. So every country has their own correlation to other countries.
Yeah, on the other side, taking a look at Romania, where Joel wants to go, he wants to migrate to for the Big Mac Index. They have 202,422 who are immigrating to, so 202,000 plus, and they have 233,000. So they have 30,000 plus of the prospect of a brain drain. So again, I mean, when you start taking a look and digging into this country by country, you can basically see the movement from some countries to other countries. It's pretty amazing. Is there any way to do more like detailed flow in understanding where all these individuals are going to?
Yeah, and that data is also is available even on a global scale. That's where you see the migration flow. If you look at Romania, for example, the migration flow goes there from East to West Europe. So people living in Romania are going to work in Germany or in the Netherlands or in France because they can buy more Big Macs in total of the money they make. But to lose or to gain the losses they have on the labor market, Romania gets people from outside Europe and brings them into Romania. And that's how the flow works. So they bring in it more from Asia into Europe, and Romanians go to the rest part of Europe. So the migration flow goes also from east to west in Europe.
Gotcha. Well, Gert Jan Vastorp, kids, that's right, CEO and founder of the Intelligence Group. JG, if somebody wants to actually, you know, I don't know, go download the European Talent Intelligence Manual for 2022, where would you send them?
Well, I would send them to our website, www.intelligence/group.nl. And the manual is free to download. Just register your name and you'll get some emails from us. No, just kidding. You get the manual from us. And and I hope it surprises everybody in Europe, but also outside of Europe.
Well, excellent, man. I appreciate it. This is some great data. I'd be surprised if you don't have a ton of people downloading this just to be able to understand what's happening in the neighborhood, not to mention taking a look across the pond.
Chad, that's another one in the can. Lots of fun, and we out.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses, and not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.